All right, now in Proverbs chapter 1, the Bible reads in verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Okay, so God here is admonishing us to learn, right? To listen to instruction. That's someone teaching you something. To get knowledge, to get wisdom, to understand things that are complicated. You know, when we say in the Bible a dark saying, a proverb, to us we would probably call that something that's complicated, something that's advanced, okay? Look, if you would, at verse number 22. Look at that last three-word statement. Fools hate knowledge. Do you see that? Look down at verse number 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now turn to the book of Matthew. Keep your finger in Proverbs, though, because we're coming back there. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter number 22. And verse number 37, I believe, is the verse. Matthew 22. Let's start in verse 36. It says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and look at the last phrase, and with all thy mind. Now, God wants to have control of our mind. God wants our mind to be dedicated to Him, to be consecrated to Him, to be set apart for Him. Okay? He doesn't want our mind to just wander amidst things that are wrong. He doesn't want our mind to remain ignorant and foolish and dumb. The Bible says that we're bought with a price. He said, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So our mind belongs to God. And we need to have our mind consecrated to God. Look at chapter 4 of Proverbs. It says in chapter 4, verse 23, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, what does it mean to keep your heart? Say, like, don't lose it? Keep it? No. What he's saying here, and when the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about basically your inner self, your thought process. He's not talking about the physical organ that's pumping your blood. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Basically, he's saying, guard. Guard your heart. Guard your mind, for out of it are the issues of life. Basically, what he's saying is, keep bad things from coming in, because the bad things that come in are going to come out. For example, Peter said, we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See, what goes into your mind, what comes into your heart, is going to come out of your heart. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Talking about guarding it from things that would come in wrongly, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep reading, verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Why? Because if you listen to the froward mouth, that's coming into your heart, okay? And that's going to cause it to come out of your own mouth. And perverse lips put far from thee. What organ is that referring to? Your ears, right? Listening to things you ought not listen to. But verse 25 says, Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So there's three things here. Number one, what you listen to. Number two, what you look at. And number three, where you go. Right? These are the three things that you need to control if you're going to control the bad things not coming into your mind. Looking upon things that you shouldn't look at. For example, he said, keep your eyelids straight in front of you. Look not to the right hand or the left. Think about driving down the road. You could be driving down the freeway. Oftentimes there's temptation to the right and temptation to the left, right? The billboards. Many of them have obscene photographs. Many of them have, you know, scantily clad women or you know, beer ads or whatever. You're in the grocery store. You're walking up to the aisle. What have you got? A bunch of smut on the left hand and on the right. Right? Bunch of garbage. A bunch of, you know, People magazine. Cosmopolitan. And, you know, God help you if you actually read those kind of magazines. I mean, it's hard to find a magazine that's clean. I mean, my best advice to you would be to stay away from magazines. I mean, maybe there's a magazine, what is it, Taste of Home? Is that a clean magazine? Are you not sure, or is it clean?
Sure.
Okay, it's good. Okay. She takes Taste of Home. And it's all just a food magazine. You know what I mean? But I saw a magazine that was called Good Housekeeping. And on the front, it advertised a dirty article on the front about what goes on in the bedroom. Good Housekeeping. You know, you think, okay, it's going to tell you how to sweep the floor or something. Good Housekeeping. It's going to tell you how to keep the mattress clean, or it's going to tell you how to, you know, wash the dishes right, or how to reorganize your closet to save space. No. The world's magazines are 99% garbage. Face it. People magazine. I don't care what the whores and whoremongers of Hollywood are doing this week. I'm not going to delight myself in the wicked and delight myself in those who do wrong. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, they not only do these things, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges another, but thou that judges another doest the same things. He's saying, you know, you get mad about the wickedness of Hollywood, you get mad about the wickedness of homosexuality and adultery, but then if you're going to delight in those people on the silver screen and in the magazine, he's saying, look, you judge, you're participating in their evil deeds by delighting in them. And so we ought to be careful what goes into our mind, is what I'm saying. Our mind should be consecrated to God. Go a little bit later in the book of Proverbs, let me pull out my notes here, to chapter 16, verse number 3. Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 16:3 reads, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Look at chapter 24, verse 9. Just flip over a few pages. Chapter 24, verse 9, the Bible says, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. And so the Bible's clear that God cares what you think about. It's not enough just to do the right thing or be the right thing. God cares about what goes on in your mind. The Bible says lust, the Bible says that, you know, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The thought of your mind, the lust of your heart, the ungodly thought in your mind leads you into sin. And so the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Control what goes in your mind. Now, the Bible commands us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. So, there are things that we should not use our mind for, and there are things that we should use our mind for. Now, number one, the first important thing about our mind is education, learning, instruction. Okay? You say, what do I need to be educated? Do I need to learn? God commands us to learn. He commands us to get instruction, to get knowledge. And he says, anyone who hates knowledge is a fool. Anyone who desires to remain simple. He said, how long will you fools, you know, delight in simplicity, you know, and hate knowledge and want to be a simpleton? You say, well, that's just kind of how I am. God wants us to use our minds and to be as educated as we possibly can. You know, children, I hope you're listening to me right now, that you would want to learn and desire to become smart. When mom is teaching you your schoolwork, when you're sitting down and learning math and English and history and science, God desires you to learn. God desires you to have intelligence. There's no premium on being ignorant or foolish. And you know, fundamental Baptists sometimes have a reputation for being ignorant, for being dumb. And you know, many are dumb. And you know, there's nothing spiritual about being dumb. Well, you know, I don't know much about anything. I just know that Jesus saves. No, learn something, right? I don't just know that Jesus saves and I don't care about anything else. No, I want to know everything. I want to know as much as I can. I want to learn what I can. I don't want to be up here an ignoramus. If you're going to preach one day, you don't want to just be up here ignorant, foolish, making mistakes, not knowing what you're talking about. You want to have education so that you can know what is right and what is wrong. What to preach, what to say, how to say it correctly. Hey, when I write somebody a letter, I want to use the proper punctuation. I want to use the proper spelling. When I write something down, when I speak, I want to use proper grammar. I want to be able to speak clearly to where people can understand me, to where I'm saying things the right way. Hey, these are all things that are important. And we shouldn't get this attitude that education doesn't matter. Or just this attitude, well, I'm not smart, so I'm not going to learn. No, the wise man will increase his learning at whatever level his education is. Now, different people are smarter than others. Different people have different gifts and talents and abilities, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But whatever gifts and abilities you have, you should be increasing your knowledge. Now, so many of our thoughts are spent just on idleness. And sometimes we just have these vain thoughts, as the Bible says. Vanity of thought. I mean, where we just basically go through our day and just let our mind wander. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You're driving down the road and your mind's just wandering, and you know, you get in the car, you get to work, and your mind just floats around. And you know, truly, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. We ought to commit our works unto the Lord and have our thoughts established. We ought to meditate upon God's Word day and night. We ought to be thinking about things that will please God. Now, how are we going to get the learning and instruction and education that we need? Well, look down at your Bible there in Proverbs chapter 1, because, you know, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He made that statement 5 times in the New Testament. I don't want you to be ignorant. 5 times God said that in the New Testament. He says in verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, that doesn't sound to me like we should go to the unsaved and the ungodly and the worldly to give us our training and education. Right? I mean, I'm not going to send my kids to a public school to be trained by people who believe that there is no God, who believe that we evolved from monkeys, who believe that, you know, basically that right and wrong is relative, or they have no fear of God before their eyes. I'm not going to let them train my children. But not only that, I'm not going to let them train me. Now, I've been tempted many times in my life. I'm not tempted this way now, but many times I've been tempted in my life to go to the world for education. You know, and obviously it's hard today sometimes to make ends meet financially. You know, you work hard, you strive to get ahead at your job and try this. And many times in my life, I was tempted to go to college, okay, and get some kind of a training, get some kind of a degree from the university. But you know what? I've been to college. I spent some time in college. I spent some time in a secular college. I spent some time in Bible college. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot go to that college down here, South Mountain College or ASU, without having your mind filled with filth. Period. Now, I don't. Who here has been to the state university or community college? You know, see all those hands? You know that what I'm saying is true. Yep. I mean, your mind will become infected with garbage, because I'm going to tell you something. That institution down there that calls itself a college, that calls itself a university, their goal is not to teach you knowledge and instruction and wisdom. It is to corrupt and pervert your mind. It's not God that's in charge down there. It's the devil. All you have to do is look at the sign outside ASU and it has a picture of the devil on it. Right? It makes it real easy when you live in Phoenix. Because there's a picture of the devil, like with the horns and a pitchfork and a ponytail. You know, and that is our call, ASU. And the mascot is the devil. Sun Devil Stadium. And you got the devil over there. You know what? That's the only honest college, ASU. So if you're going to go to one, go to ASU, because it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And so I'm here to tell you, they want to pervert and corrupt your mind. I spent just a few years in college, okay? And every class I took except math, my mind was corrupted. I mean, I was shown nudity. I was shown video images of pedophilia. I'm not even kidding. I was shown porno in the classroom. I was shown just the most wicked things. And you think I'm exaggerating? See me after service. I'll tell you. This is the kind of stuff that I was literally shown. I was taught that there is no God, that there's contradictions in the Bible. They told me the world was overpopulated. They beat that into our heads, that the world was overpopulated, that you know, abortion is fine, that Jesus is a myth, the Bible's false. And these were just in basic classes, history, geography, science. These are the things that I learned. And I'm going to tell you something. That is not the source for education according to the Bible. Now, I believe that God can provide for you financially. I believe that God will provide all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't want my children to go to that university or college to be indoctrinated by the devil in order to be able to get some kind of a job that's going to pay them well. I would rather live in poverty for the rest of my life. Are you listening to me? I would rather be poor and have my integrity and to keep my heart with all diligence than than to go down there and say, well, I'm just going to bite the bullet because it's not going to affect me. It will affect you no matter who you are. It's more important for you to keep your heart than for you to guard your career. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. You only have one mind. And everything that goes into your mind stays in your mind forever. It's true. I mean, I watched movies that I shouldn't have watched as a teenager, and it's still in my mind. I listened to music I shouldn't have listened to. It's still back in there somewhere, and sometimes it'll come back to you. Wrong things. And hey, it's more important to me to keep my mind and my heart clean. And by the way, I believe that God will bless you more for your obedience. Okay. Now, you know, if you've already gone to college and everything and got the degree, you know, fine. But I'm here to tell you, that is not the way to advance your career. Because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. God can give you the power to get wealth. And you know, your goal should not be to be rich. He said, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. But God can make you rich. God can give you money, or he can make you poor. He can take it away. And I know people who've gone down to the state university, got their 4-year degree, got their 6-year degree, and you know what? They don't have any kind of a career that's worth having. They're not making loads of money. I know many people who have that degree. But you know, I think God will bless you more if you do what's right. If you focus not on the world's learning and the world's education, but on the education that comes from God. The truth. Things that are right. Now, I'm all for being smart and educated. I'm all for learning. But the university is not the place to learn. I know people who get out of there with a degree and thus and so, and they don't have a clue about that subject. It's more of a social re-education center than anything. And you know what? Public schools are the same thing. This is what you learn in public school. You learn about socialism. You learn a left-wing agenda. You learn that the gays are wonderful. This is what you learn. I've been there. Don't tell me it's not so. I went to public school. I know what it was like. We sat there, and anything I learned, I taught myself. Because what I was learning in the classroom was a bunch of garbage. It was totally un-American in the history class. It was totally perverted in the science class. It was totally twisted in the history class. It was just every class I went to had an agenda. They were trying to get me to not believe the Bible or to be a socialist or whatever. Now, what's the answer then? Where am I going to get education? Well, let me explain something to you. This is called a book, okay? You learn from books. Daniel said, in Daniel chapter number 10, I believe he said he studied and learned by books. He studied books, okay? Paul read books. We ought to read books and learn. Now, the most important books are the 66 books that I'm holding in my hand, the Holy Bible. This is the beginning of knowledge. This is the beginning of understanding. But I think we should learn other things, science, history, mathematics. But we shouldn't learn it from the world and the ungodly. We should learn it from mom and dad. We should learn it from ourselves. We should learn it from books and reading and studying. I don't need to go to the world to teach me anything. I have a thing or two to teach them, and I'm not going to have them teach me. And we ought to keep that in mind when we're tempted to go to the world to get their degree, to get their piece of paper, you know, that says, oh, I'm the bachelor of so-and-so, master of so-and-so, doctor of so-and-so. You say, oh, well, there's certain jobs and certain careers where you have to go to college in order to do that career. You know what? Then pick another career. That's what I say. Because I'm not going to let them indoctrinate me. And let me tell you something. That university is getting worse and worse and worse. How bad is it going to get before Christians say, well, I'm not going to go and listen to it? Like, think about it. How much weirder does it have to get before you're going to say, you know what? No, I don't want to listen to it. I mean, I looked into it years ago, and to get my 2-year degree, because I'm like a few credits away from a 2-year degree, you know, in mathematics that I was taking before, you know, like a long time ago when I was first married, I had to take a class in like diversity and a class in environmentalism were two of the core classes that I would have needed to finish that degree. Yeah, I'm not going to listen to that junk. And I said, you know what? You can keep your stupid degree. You can keep your godless university. You can keep your environmentalism and your homo diversity and learning how to accept a bunch of transvestites and freaks. How weird is it going to get before we say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with it. You know what's wrong with our country politically? Let me explain to you. You know who's in the Senate and the House of Representatives and in the executive branch right now? Pretty much every, I'll bet you every senator and every congressman in Arizona has a college degree from a left-wing university. Think about that. And you wonder why our government is the way it is. You wonder why the Republicans are just like the Democrats? I'll tell you why. Because they all went to the same left-wing university and got indoctrinated. That's why. Oh, they got their degree in political science from a stinking commie. From a bunch of left-wingers. From a bunch of Marxist phony professors. I was driving down the street one day in Sacramento, California. I tuned in on my radio to the radio of the University of California, Davis, that was right there. I tuned in and they broadcast some of their classes over there. I listened to that radio show praise the Soviet Union. This was a professor in a class saying, oh, sure, they had to, you know, work a month to earn enough to pay for a pair of shoes. But the government gave them everything they needed. He said they had free health care, no unemployment, they had a place to live. Everything was paid for by the government. So yeah, of course, you know, their wages were small because they were given everything. And yeah, they had to work for 2 months to get a jacket, but you know, hey, everything was being given to them. And he was telling them, hey, the Soviet Union had a lot of good things to offer. Let me tell you all the good things about communism. They don't want to tell you about the 66 million dead. They forgot that part. They forgot the 60, not 6 million, 66 million that died under the Soviet regime. Do the study, do the math. But you won't learn that in school. You know what you'll learn about? You know what I learned in school? I went to a history class. I literally, and you know, I'll fault myself for being ignorant. I walked out of high school and I thought Stalin was the good guy. I thought, you know what? It was Stalin and Churchill and Roosevelt were the allies in World War II, the good guys, right? United States, England and Russia versus, you know, the Nazis, right? Hitler and then Mussolini with the fascists in Italy and, you know, Hirohito, the Empire of Japan. I walked out of there and was basically thought that Russia was the good guy. You know, that Stalin was our ally. He was our friend. No, he was the most bloodthirsty, cruel dictator in the history of mankind. And we were allied with them. But you're not going to learn that in school. You're not going to learn the truth about history. You're not going to learn the truth about science. You're going to learn, oh, these primates are our cousins. You know, we're in the same family. You know, I remember when I came home from school, my parents saw in one of my school books that said that human beings were mammals. They said, we're not mammals. Don't classify us with a whale or a cow or, a, you know, these different animals. He said, you're a human being. You're not an animal. You're not a species. You're not Homo sapiens. You're not a mammal. He said, you are a human being in the image of God, is what my parents taught me. What do they get right? Math is probably the only thing, because how do you mess up math? I heard somebody said they have a new math or something. Did anybody hear about that? I don't know. I don't know how you could mess up math. But you know what? I'm sure they'll find a way to do it. And so, when we think of knowledge and understanding and learning, where does it need to start? This is the source right here. This is where it needs to start, the Bible. We got to learn the Bible more than anything. And then we learn our other subjects. We want to understand the words of the wise, their dark sayings. We want to understand a proverb and the interpretation thereof. We want to give heed to understanding. We want our parents to train us, and we can learn from them when we're children and growing up. We don't go to the world for our knowledge. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. The Bible says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And by the way, a college campus is an ungodly place. You got all kinds of scantily clad girls. You know, you got all kinds of drinking going on. You got all kinds of you know, just temptations around you of things that are wrong. And you know, maybe you're frustrated right now with your career. Or maybe you're nervous and stuff. You know what? The Bible says, take no thought for the morrow, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Why don't you work hard, learn from the Bible, learn from church, be faithful to church, be faithful out soul winning. Don't you think God's going to provide for you and take care of you if you work hard and serve God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. I'd rather be wise concerning the things of God and simple concerning the things of the world, the things that are ungodly. I'm not talking about legitimate knowledge of history, science, and math. Those things are important. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 2. It says, Actually, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. He's saying, look, don't judge by the outward appearance. He's saying, keep every thought of your mind. Bring it into subjection and obedience of Christ. The university, the school system, it may look good on the outside. The beautiful buildings. The people that are teaching may sound educated and polished, but the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the professor that gets up and tells you that there's no God, what can you learn from him? Do you think he's going to give you the right view of history? Do you think he's going to give you the right view of science? No. He's going to give it a twisted view that's based on the world's understanding and not God's wisdom. Okay. Now turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter number 26. And then we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. The Bible says this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Learning, knowledge, it doesn't come from the world. It should come from God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Our minds need to stay on the things of God. Not on, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Look at Romans chapter 12. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12. What did I tell you? Which one did I tell you? 1 Corinthians 12. Okay. Keep me straight here. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says in verse number 6. It says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So what is the source of wisdom and knowledge? God, right? God is the source of knowledge. God is the source of wisdom. He says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now look, God gives people different talents and abilities. Okay? God gives people physical talents, but he also gives people mental talents and abilities. Okay? For example, I look at my sons, and they have a diversity in talent. Okay? For example, you know, one of my sons is very gifted creatively, artistically. Okay? Another of my sons is very gifted with language. He has the ability to learn a foreign language very well. Another son of mine is very gifted with, you know, reading and writing. And another of my sons, very coordinated. You're like, how many sons do you have? You know, but I'm listening up. Some of these overlap. But I mean, I think about my different sons, and you know, John learned how to read just like a snap. Very easy. Very quickly learned how to read. You know, Isaac, very artistic, has great creativity, very great imagination. You know, Solomon sits in the Spanish class on Sunday mornings and just picks it up. I mean, sometimes I wonder if he's listening. You know, I'm teaching a Spanish class. I'm thinking, oh, it might be going over his head a little bit. Maybe he's not really listening. But you know what? Then afterward, I'll quiz him on it, and he comprehends it. He knows it. I'll ask him hard questions, and he understands the concept. That's talent that he has. God has given us talents, the Bible says, to profit withal. Okay? He gave us our abilities and talents to help other people, to edify others. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 14. For example, some people are talented musically. We should be using that talent for God, to help other people, to profit. Not for selfish reasons or whatever. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. The Bible says in verse 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." Okay? He says in verse number 14, or verse number 1, it says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." He's saying, where's the other scripture I was looking for? Verse number 6. He says, "Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine?" He said in verse number 9, "So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be understood? How shall it be known what is spoken, for ye shall speak into the air?" Verse number 12, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." So, whatever mental talents we have from God, let's say we have an ability to speak well, eloquency. Let's say we have an ability to learn a foreign language. Let's say we have the ability to learn music. We ought to use that gift and ability for the edifying of the church, to build up other people. Okay? For example, let's say my talent is in music. I should learn how to play piano so I can play classical music. And, you know, just for entertainment or fun or to show off. No, I ought to be learning how to play the hymns so that I can use that for the edifying of the church. Let's say I have knowledge of the Bible. Let's say I'm very intelligent and I'm able to learn and understand the Bible. Then I should have a goal of teaching the Bible to my fellow believer in the church. Let's say I have a gift of eloquency and I have the ability to speak well. I should covet to prophesy. I should learn how to prophesy and preach to the church so that people can receive edifying. That's what he said in verse 1. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He said in verse number 12, "Even so, ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." What were the gifts that he mentioned? Knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, tongues. Okay. Now, if you're going to learn a foreign language, and by the way, God wants you to learn a foreign language if you have that ability. Now, some people couldn't learn a foreign language to save their life. Part of it's a talent from God, honestly. I mean, I've known people who spent 20 years trying to learn a language and could not. They just couldn't do it. You know what I mean? And they struggled with it. Other people can pick it up. Don't waste your talents. Okay? Don't waste the abilities that God gave you. There are people in this city that are dying and going to hell who speak Spanish that need you to go give them the gospel. It's true. I mean, when we go out soul winning, we knock doors. And literally, sometimes more than 50% of the doors that we knock speak Spanish only. Is that true or not? I mean, when you're in South Phoenix, literally, people who speak English are the minority. And I'm not talking about people who speak both. I'm talking about people who speak Spanish only. Do you think that they're getting the truth at the Iglesia Católica? Because they're not. Do you think that they're getting the truth from these Pentecostal Spanish ministries that are all over South Phoenix? You think they're getting the truth from the Testigos de Jehová? Because they're not. They're getting lies. They're getting false doctrine. And if God has given you the talent to speak another language, if God has put you in Phoenix, Arizona, because that's where you were born or that's where God's led you in your life, hey, don't waste your talent because of laziness and say, you know what? I don't want to take the time and effort to learn Spanish. Okay? Because I just have other things to do, or it's too hard, or look, if you have the ability, and you know who you are if you have the ability, and you know who you are if you don't. But if God's given you that ability to be able to pick it up, hey, get buckled down and get on that and learn that, okay? Because, you know, who else is going to do it if you're not going to do it is what I want to know. Who's going to go out and get all these people saved? I'd like to see our church go into Guadalupe, which is just south of here, which is a town where 100% of the people speak only Spanish. And it's literally so close to our church we could throw a rock and hit it. You know what I'm talking about. Just south of Baseline is where it starts. Population 5,500. We ought to be knocked. Our church ought to knock every door in Guadalupe and give the gospel. That should be a goal that our church has, to knock every single door in that town. But first, we got to learn how to speak Spanish. Now, you know, I went out soul winning today. And I gave the gospel to people in English and didn't have anybody saved. But I had three people saved in Spanish. I spent time yesterday. I was on a long drive. I spent time studying my Spanish memory verses, and today I was able to use those. You know, they were coming into my mind. I was able to just have them at the tip of my tongue because I worked on it and studied. And you know, I've been remiss in this from time to time, but if you have that talent, if God gave you that ability, God is calling you to give the gospel to the Spanish-speaking inhabitants of Phoenix, Arizona. He's calling you to do it. If you have the ability, we're here to help you to try to learn Spanish. You already know a lot of Spanish. Go out there and preach the gospel to someone in another tongue. Okay? Now, you say, oh, somebody wrote me an email this week and said, boy, you seem to have an affinity for languages. You know, I know you speak some languages. They said, you really need to add biblical Greek and Hebrew to your repertoire. They said, since you are such an affinity for languages, you need to learn Koine Greek and ancient Hebrew in order to be able to understand the Bible more, because they're telling me that I don't understand the Bible and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If I'm going to learn a language, because I love studying languages, it's kind of a hobby of mine, it's a talent that God has given me to be able to speak foreign languages, I'm only going to learn a language that's going to edify the church. Did you hear me? God said that if I have a gift of speaking in another tongue, and that's one of the gifts that he listed. Did he not list that? Look down at your Bible in chapter 12 where he said this. In chapter 12, it says in verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. That is a spiritual gift, okay, that God gives the ability to speak with that. Paul said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Here's a man who traveled to Asia Minor, traveled all over Greece, and spoke a variety of languages, preaching the gospel in foreign cities. He had a gift for languages. He spoke Greek. He spoke Hebrew. He spoke Aramaic. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible records him speaking all those languages. He got up and preached in Acts 22 in Hebrew. Then, remember, the centurion came to him and he started speaking Greek. He said, oh, can you speak? He said, canst thou speak Greek? He was surprised. He spoke several languages. He spoke Syrian, Greek, and Hebrew at a minimum, and he probably spoke more languages than that in his travels. But he said, look, if you're going to speak in a tongue, let it edify the church. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He said, you ought to use your gift of tongues to edify the church. I'm not going to learn a dead language. I have no desire to learn Latin. I have no desire to learn Sanskrit. I have no desire to learn. If I learn Greek, I'll learn modern Greek. And I've learned some modern Greek. I don't care about ancient Greek. I don't care about learning a foreign language. Because pastors want to learn ancient Greek and ancient Hebrew so that they can stand up in front of the church, speak in an unknown tongue in order to build themselves up. That's what edifying yourself means. What does edify mean? To build up. They get up and speak in an unknown tongue to build themselves up. Look at me. Look how much I know. Listen to me expound to you cardia. You know, because the word heart, you know, it's really supposed to be cardia. You know, like cardiovascular. You know what I mean? Wow. Ooh. Or get this, spirit. If you go back in the Greek, it's pneuma. Pneuma. Okay? When the Bible says glory, it's doxa. What is that? So what? Do you think that that's really helping you learn the Bible when somebody gets up and tells you what it means in Greek?
Well, in the Greek, it actually means huios.
You know, so what? But it edifies them, makes them feel good, makes them look good. Oh, man, I sit down in the church and the pastor's going into the Greek. He's going deep. He's pulling stuff out that I've never seen. Yeah, you didn't see it because it wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, I remember I went to this one church. Man, he preaches so many things I never would have thought of that. I never got that from reading. I've read that passage 100 times and never got that. That's because it wasn't there. That's because he made it up. You know, that's why you never got that. But look, if you're going to learn a foreign language, learn a language that's going to edify the church. Learn a language to get somebody saved. If you have the ability to learn a language, learn Spanish. Or learn any language. You know, learn German, Norwegian, whatever. You know, French, Russian, whatever. But learn it for the purpose of getting people saved. Learn it. You say, if you're going to learn history, if you're going to learn science, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Okay? Have a goal in your life of using your mind for God. Okay? Don't let your mind be prostituted by the world. You know, let them put all their junk into it. Let them put all their training for it. And then use your whole life toward making money. You know, my goal in life isn't to make a bunch of money. That's not, you know, I don't want to just go through life just money. My goal is to serve God. And you know, if your goal in life is money, you're going to be a very unhappy person anyway. And you're going to waste your life because you can't take it with you anyway. And so you have to stop and evaluate your life and say, wait a minute, what is my mind doing on Monday? What is my mind doing on Tuesday? Is it just vainly just thinking about money, or is it just idle doing nothing? Is it thinking on the world? Is it singing the songs of the world, having songs in my head from the world and Michael Jackson? And just had to throw that in. And is my mind just going with all the world's music and all this stuff, or is my mind thinking about spiritual things, the Bible? Am I trying to learn something, like learning a foreign language to get somebody saved? Am I using my mind to its fullest potential? Or am I wasting my mind rotting it in front of a TV? You know, rotting it in front of a video game. And look, there's nothing wrong with playing a video game. You know, I choose not to play video games, okay? Because I don't want to waste my mind on a video game. Now, video games are, who thinks video games are fun? I love video games. I'm not going to lie to you. I think video games are very fun. I think they're extremely fun. But I never play video games. And I'm not saying that you should never play video games. You know, if you want to sit down and blow off a little steam in front of a video game, you go right ahead. But you know what? Do you really love God with all your mind when every day you're in front of a video game every day and you're not learning how to speak Spanish? You're not learning your Bible verses. You're not memorizing the Romans Road and the plan of salvation in English. You're not learning how to get people saved. You're not studying the Bible. You're not learning how to preach. You're not educating yourself so that you can stand up and teach others and know what you're talking about. You're just sitting in front of a video game with drool running out of the side of your mouth. Okay, you're about to get to the next level. You're about to get to the bonus round. You're about to beat your all-time high score, and it's all vanity. Think about this, and I want you to understand the sermon tonight. Your mind belongs to God. Use your mind. Don't be a fool. Don't be an ignoramus. Don't be simple. Be smart, okay? Be smart. Be as smart as you can. And some people are smarter than others. Some people are smart in one area than another person. And other people are smart in other areas. But whatever area God has talented you in your mind, with knowledge, with wisdom. I mean, most of these gifts that he lists have to do with your mind. Knowledge, wisdom, speaking a tongue, understanding a tongue. Those are all mental exercises. Use it for God's work. Okay? And I'm telling you something. We've got to buckle down with this thing. You know, for example, you want to be a soul winner? Maybe you've never had anybody saved. Or maybe you're starting to have people saved. Take the time to memorize the verses for the plan of salvation. Have them in your mind. Because if you think about it, you know, you go out and just expect to be able to get people saved, but it's like you don't want to do the work to train, you know, to prepare. Think about it, if you were going to go run a race somewhere, you'd have to have a diet a certain way. You'd have to train. You'd have to be doing push-ups. You'd have to be running and sprinting. You'd get up early every morning. And people, when they go to the Olympics, they train like day and night for years. The Bible says they do it for a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. Paul said, I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What I'm talking about is disciplining your mind, okay? It takes physical discipline. Who's ever done like weightlifting? Done a little bit of lifting? Wait, physical discipline. You've heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. You know, it takes a lot of discipline and concentration to lift weights because you're pushing yourself. You're enduring a lot of pain and you know, the endurance of... Sometimes it's easy to just lift a really heavy weight a few times. But to do many, many repetitions, to do, you know, 100 push-ups or 40 pull-ups, that takes a lot of endurance. God is telling us here, we need to discipline our mind. Okay? And you know what? Sometimes you don't want to read the Bible. Sometimes you don't want to memorize the Bible. Sometimes you want to just veg in front of a video game and just turn off your brain and sit in front of the TV and just shut off your mind and just let everything flow in and just lay there and not think. But you know what? The same way an athlete disciplines his body, the Christian must discipline his mind. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. He said, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Did you hear that? Exercise yourself unto godliness. Training, disciplining your mind into thinking the right thoughts, into knowing the Word of God on the tip of your tongue, memorizing the verses. You should be able to go out soul winning and not even have your Bible and be able to give somebody the gospel. Right? I mean, you should walk up to somebody, not even have your Bible with you, and be able to quote every salvation verse on the tip of your tongue. Why? Because you exercise yourself to godliness. Not for a corruptible crown. Not for an olive leaf crown that will wither away. Not for a gold medal that will one day be burned up with this world. But for a crown of glory in heaven, Paul said of those that he won to Christ, you're our crown. He said in Philippians chapter 4. He said, you are our joy and our crown. Hey, I'm working for something far more important than an Olympian athlete. I'm working for something far more important than any athlete. I want to train myself, exercise myself, discipline my mind. You want to just sit around and think about nothing, but you've got to discipline yourself and say, you know what, I'm going to focus on learning. What I'm going to do on Monday, I'm going to learn more. And I hope that tomorrow, I'm going to know more than I know today. And next Sunday, I'll have more knowledge than I had today. And a year from now, I'll know more Bible, more facts, I'll know more knowledge, more language, more... Why? Because I'm on a constant path of exercising my mind, learning what I need to learn so that I can edify the church, so that I can win people to Christ, so I can get people saved. Think about this. Your mind belongs to God. Don't just say, well, I go to church 3 times a week, I spend a little time out soul winning, and, you know, the rest of the week I just kind of go through life. You know, eat, drink, sleep, work. No, let your mind be an exercise every single day. This week, think about it. Think about tomorrow. What am I going to learn today? Read the Bible to learn something. Not just a little devotion to make you feel good or to give you a little pick-you-up, a little encouragement. Hey, read the Bible to learn. You ought to learn something new from the Bible tomorrow when you read. You ought to learn something new when you read the Bible on Tuesday. Every single week, you should be gaining Bible knowledge. Why? So that you can teach someone else. So that you can edify someone else. So you can go down to the nursing home and teach what you learned. So that you can take your brother in Christ aside after the service, before the service, and say, hey, let me show you something I learned in the Bible. Let me teach you something. Let me edify you. Not let me build myself up because I can quote Latin and I can quote Hebrew and Greek, languages that people do not speak today. You know, because the Greek that they spoke in the Bible is different than the Greek. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities to it. But there's differences as well. But not to know something that doesn't matter, but to be able to help somebody else learn, to be able to take somebody aside and show. And by, you know, don't just talk about nothing with people. Talk about the Bible. edify your brother with the Bible. Iron sharpeneth iron. Don't just expect me to preach to everybody. Why don't you take somebody aside in church and teach them something from the Bible? Show them something that you learned. Show them something that you read. Every time you're studying the Bible, studying anything, it should be to edify someone else. It should be to teach someone else. And so love God with your heart. Love Him with your soul. Love God with your mind also. Train your mind and guard your mind, because the devil would love to get into your mind. You know why the law states that you can't be an engineer, you can't be a lawyer, or you can't be a doctor without graduating from these schools? I mean, that's the law, right? You can't practice medicine without going through their system. You know why? Because they want to get into your mind. That's why. They want to tempt you to get into your mind. And you know what? I don't care what anybody says. My mind is more valuable to me than any paycheck. And I would rather guard my mind, make less money, not be a success in the world's eyes, but I want to control what goes into this mind and what doesn't. I don't want somebody else to spoon-feed me a bunch of garbage. You know what? It's getting increasingly so, where they try to lock you out of certain professions if you don't go down to their university and learn their junk. They want to get into your head, my friend. They want to get a TV in your house to pump their junk into your mind. They want to get you on their radio stations. They want to get you in their university and in their school. The devil wants your mind. He's after your mind. He'll try to get in through your eyes. He'll try to get in through your ears any way he can. He wants to get inside and corrupt you. And you've got to guard your heart. Guard your mind. Keep it out. Keep it clean. You know, I don't read a bunch of commentaries written by a bunch of Protestants and stuff. You know, like a lot of these Bible colleges will teach you. Because I want to guard my mind from false doctrine. I want to get it from the Holy Spirit and from the Bible. I want to get it from fundamental Baptist preachers who preach the Bible, who go soul winning. That's who I want to teach me. But let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just help us to guard our minds from the evil. And also, Father, please just help us to train our minds, exercise our minds, not to be dumb, not to be an ignoramus. But God, please just help us to spend our time and our effort this week learning. Help us to have zeal that's coupled with knowledge. Not just a bunch of excitement and zeal and rah-rah and go this and preach this. Help us to stop and learn what we need to learn. Help us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And learn and exercise our mind. And God, those of us who have a gift and a talent for language, help us to use that talent for your glory, our soul winning, getting people saved. And we love you and thank you for the gifts that you've given us and the talent that you've given us, the knowledge and understanding you've given us, dear God. Help us to use it for your glory, not just to make money or to be a success in the world. Help us to use it for the edification of the church. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.